Welcome to another episode of This Woman Works. I am your host, Mike Patton. And on this episode, we're going a little Hollywood with this one, bringing in Miss Tiffany Jackson. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing amazing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great out here in the South where, you know, it hasn't got hot yet.
Meanwhile, the sun is piercing as blue skies out here in La La Land.
Definitely. Well, we're going to get into your matriculation to La La Land, as you said. But first, of course, with every show, we start off with the Black Girl Magic moment. And since we're going to also talk a little bit about Tennessee State University, I wanted to start the show off with someone that actually is from the state of Tennessee that is actually in the business, too. That'd be Miss Coco Jones. Now,
Coco, yes. Love her.
Now, Coco Jones, definitely. She was actually born in Lebanon, Tennessee, not Nashville. Some folks think Lebanon is Nashville. That's not correct. But, of course, she did a few auditions in Nashville, got noticed by Disney, and then also ended up doing a few there with basically was on Next Big Thing there with them, which 2010, 2011. Then she did a film called Let It Shine, 2012 with Disney, and then also did a sitcom called Good Luck Charlie, 2012 to 2013. Now, during that time, she still was singing. So, you know, never stopped singing at all. And, of course, she had a self-titled extended play at that point in time in 2010. However, you know, a lot of people, of course, didn't know as much about that because, of course, she was still a child at that time. Mm-hmm. Fast forward now, 2022, you see her on Bel Air playing Hillary on that show. And everybody's getting used to her and saying, hey, I think I remember her from somewhere, but I just can't remember when. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, everyone starts catching up, thinking about Disney shows, things like that. Then, boom, she signs with Def Jam in 2022 and releases I See You, which garnered her Grammy for Best R&B Performance. And she had 5 total nominations as well. I just want to kind of give
it away.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I just want to give the Black Girl Magic moment to Miss Coco Jones for this episode too.
Absolutely. You know, I did a music video with her.
Oh, you did?
So I was her twin. So it's called You Versus Me. It's called You Versus Me. It's on, like, it was like before she was on Bel Air. Like she was before the season 1 of Bel Air. She needed like a body double for her versus herself. So it was a lot of scenes where we're like holding hands and like we're like face to face. And of course in the video, they used her real face, but they needed like my body. So it was so cool because, you know, we're getting our hair and makeup done at the same time. So we're just chatting, we're talking about Nashville. And like me and her have had so much in common. She had to call her mom and ask her mom if she had a daughter that she didn't know about because we just vibe, you know, so well. So then when I seen her in Bel Air, I was like, wow, like this is her time. So it's great to see, you know, the transition just of me seeing her in music to the acting, you know, to the screen and seeing her music pop off. So yeah, I love this for her, for sure. She deserves all the flowers.
Definitely. And for those that aren't watching, you know, the background is flowers as well as roses.
Yeah. Give her all the flowers.
That's right. So, you know, of course, we're going to kind of transition from the Black Girl Magic moment to talking about you, which you're right now kind of living the Black Girl Magic in real life all the time, every day. Of course, in L.A. But before you got to L.A., let's go back to growing up. Where did you grow up?
I am born and raised from Houston, Texas. Southwest side. I did everything. Basically, I did ballet, tap, and jazz for like 7 years. I played the piano for 5 years, played the flute for 3 years. I did volleyball, softball, football, baseball, you know, all sports. But I just like couldn't stop playing basketball. I've always, you know, that's always been my sport. So I played 4-year varsity high school for basketball, 4-year varsity track. And that kind of led me to TSU. but I've been an all-star athlete like my whole life. So it's funny because out here, they don't really know. They just like see like the model actor-tive, but like they don't know that I like am really, I really wish I was on a court. So like, you know, it's just funny. Like when they do see me in films, they're like, oh, so you really did hoop. I'm like, yeah, I really did hoop. I just look like this. But yeah, so Houston is my city. Houston to Nashville, you know, mm-hmm. wasn't that much of a difference. Same kind of homely feel, small, but big city. You know, I called it mini Houston while I was there. Oh, there we go. We're back.
Yeah, a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're good. But kind of getting into everything now, I did notice you said Southwest Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now quick question I got for you. I think I know someone else that I listened to that is from there. I believe from there. That would be Toby Nwiwe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. He's from the West. Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to Toby a lot, like, so that's why.
Yeah, he's from like A-Leaf, so he's like across the street. Like it's like he's like across the street, but he's from the same area as Lizzo. I'm from the same area as Travis Scott.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm getting a little geography lesson.
Yeah, just went to the same school basically, and me and Travis Scott went to like rival schools.
Okay.
But same district. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what was it like growing up in Houston?
I never know how to answer that because Houston now is not the same Houston I grew up in. Houston now is like, that's the city people want to go to. Like people are trying to move there. Which I understand why, like, you know, we have a nice nightlife. We have, you know, a lot of people who are there for business, and Houston is being a more successful city, bringing in more people. They've kind of worked on rebuilding the whole time I was born, growing up. So, like, gladly it's done now. But growing up, it was slow, like, how kind of Nashville is definitely slower than LA and New York. It's very, very family oriented. Like both of my parents are still together today. It was my parents and I have a little brother. Well, he's not so little anymore. He's taller than me. And like, he's old. He's a grown man now, but it was cool. I grew up in a church. So I was at church on Sundays. I was at Sunday school afterwards, Bible study. I learned sign language in the church, Halloween's at the church. So it was a very traditional, I grew up in a pretty traditional household.
Okay. All right. So with what all you said, you know, talking about being an athlete, doing ballet, different things like that. What did you really want to be? What was the first thing you wanted to be growing up?
You know what? I feel like I wanted to be like Monica from Love and Basketball. Like I want to be the first girl in the NBA because I was like good at it. But like I low-key would be in the shower like doing crazy scenes from movies that I saw like that day. Like trying to make myself cry on cue and I didn't even know what that meant. Or like just being serious, because I was like the class clown. Like I'm a goofball, like I'm really a clown. So me being serious and like, you know, just trying different ways to be somebody else. I used to do that in the shower growing up. And like nobody really knew that. So I didn't even know what it was, honestly. But I just love basketball so much. So I think I like just told myself that that's what I wanted to be. But I think, like, subconsciously, like, I knew I wanted to do something in arts and entertainment. I've always entertained, even with basketball. I'm an entertainer on the court. So, like, I feel like I've always kind of wanted to stay in that realm. And it just kind of transitioned to how I'm able to do it every day, like, out here.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, you know, we're kind of going to get into your next movement. You kind of mentioned TSU and coming to TSU. We're going to talk about that time period for you. But first, we got to take a quick commercial break on This Woman Works.
EBO Beard Butter and EBO Beard Washers were the best beard grooming products for men worldwide. They help promote growth, keep your beard moisturized and soft, and enhance your overall upkeep of your facial hair. And with the new promo code MPAFC10, you can get 10% off of these products. Just go to www.etsy.com/shop/EBO Beard Butter. Again, that's www.etsy.com/shop/EBO Beard Butter. And again, the promo code MPAFC10. Again, MPAFC10, where you can get 10% off any products except for beard boxes. So treat your beard better today by going to get this EBO Beard Butter and EBO Beard Wash.
All right, and we are back on This Woman Works. Now, again, we have on Miss Tiffany Jackson. She is an actress out in the Los Angeles area. Of course, we went over talking about Houston and growing up in Houston, which she did. She grew up in Houston. We also talked about, of course, the things she did growing up in Houston. But what we're going to get into next is talking about her growing up, or actually her playing or being in Nashville, and, you know, by Tennessee State University. So I've got to ask, how did you find out about Tennessee State University, and how did you make the decision to go to Tennessee State University?
So I was running track. I was ranked in the nation for track. I was actually really good at track. I was getting really big, like, Division I, like the Dukes and the LSUs, you know, letters from there. But I didn't want to really do that in college. So I was just taking a bunch of visits for basketball. And I took one visit to another HBCU. I'm not going to say where. But that one was, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this HBCU school. I might as well, you know, go to a bigger, like, I just thought that the school just wasn't up to par. And it left a bad taste in my mouth regarding HBCU. And then I got a letter from TSU, and I was like, okay, let me try this again. And I've never been to Nashville, so I was like, let me just see what that's about. And I, like, love the coaches off top. And that's my whole thing. Like, if I can connect with the coach, and, like, if we can have a good relationship, because it's, we're all a team. Like, even with my coach, like, we need to be able to click, and I need to be able to trust you. And I wanted to go to a school and stay there all 4 years. I wasn't trying to transfer after a couple of years, because me and the coach and me and the players didn't get along. So first the coaches were just A1, and she ended up, Coach Jones, well, Coach Wells now, she ended up being my coach all 4 years. And, like, we even still have a really great, you know, relationship to this day. Like, I'll call her. I remember I had an audition, and it was for a big role, and, like, I got nervous, and I don't really get nervous. And I just called her, and she kind of, like, coached me into, like, you know, getting back, you know, prepared and, you know, ready. But that was the second thing. And then some of the teammates at the time, they took me around the campus. I remember there was, like, a DJ in the courtyard, and I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of live. And they took me to the student center, and there was a Chick-fil-A or a Starbucks. It was a Starbucks you know, at the school, and I was like, okay, this is live. They took me around the campus, showed me Rudolph, and like, you know, I just got excited, and then I got along with the player, other players on the team, and then every school I went to after TSU had to, like, be equal, if not better, than TSU. I did try to get a little bit of the party scene. They were trying not to get in trouble, but they did give me a little taste of, like, you know, the scene. I'm like 17 at the time, so, you know, I thought that was cool. And I stayed in communication with the coaches. It was really the coaches that kind of lured me in, kind of, you know, and it was just one of the best decisions I ever made. Like, I don't regret it at all. If I had to do it again, I'd go to TSU again.
Mm-hmm. It definitely can bring you in. I mean, I didn't TSU, but I grew up in Nashville, and when TSU is successful and things are going on, you know about it in Nashville as a native Nashvillian. So definitely can bring you in. And then when you go over there and you're there watching games, or me going there covering games, things like that, you definitely, all the people there bring you in, and they all are very welcoming. It's almost like you're going to a family reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely fun times. I will say that, I do get cover basketball there. So I do cover the basketball teams and football there. So, you know, of course, I did not get to cover you. Unfortunately, did not.
Maybe. But, Maybe.
Now, I will say that, what was it like, just the environment, playing at Tennessee State, playing basketball at HBCU? How was just the environment, the feel, your time there?
It was just love. Like, at every game, like, I didn't feel like I was just playing, like, just for myself. Like, I felt like I was serving a community, kind of. Like, you know, I felt like I would be letting everybody down if I didn't play my best. And, like, one of our things when I was playing is we don't lose at home. So, mm-hmm. like, at home, like, they were like, you have your family out here watching you. You don't lose while your family's watching you. You know, it was, like, our thing. So, you know, it was just – it was, like you said, just going to a family barbecue every day. Like, you're sitting with your cousin, you linking up your you know, just studying with your family. And it's crazy – it's crazy. This is a sidebar, but I was literally pumping gas like 2 days ago, and I drive like a royal blue Jeep. I call it Big Blue. And I stopped, and this guy, he was like, "You went to TSU?" Oh, I also had on my TSU like Letterman jacket. It was one of those days where it was kind of rainy, so like whatever. And he was like, "You went to TSU?" I was like, "Yeah." And then he pointed to his license plate, and it had, you know, the Omega Sci-Fi plate. And I said, look at the back of my plate. And my plate has the TSU alumni. He was like, I had the same plate in the back. And, like, it's just, like, the connections that you meet when you meet somebody else that went to TSU. It's just wild. Like, we just started talking and, like, you know, very briefly shared, like, some short stories or whatnot. But it's just, like, a love that just kind of goes, like, globally. I've met people from TSU in a whole nother country. So it's just, like, you see your family you haven't seen in a long time. And that's just kind of the love and community that just going to a HBCU, I feel like, has, even if they're not your school, it's just like HBCU love.
Right. Right. Now, of course, you did go to TSU, you did go and you did ball out on the court, and that merited some opportunities to play overseas. So how did that kind of work out in terms of going overseas? And then, how did the modeling come into play?
So I always say my overseas life is short, because it was. I didn't like it. It didn't feel fun for me anymore. I didn't feel like I was doing it for anybody. They weren't paying me.
All right, we're having a little technical difficulties, folks. 1 second here. Let's see. Okay. All Okay, a little bit of technical difficulties there, folks. We'll be Tiffany will be right back, of course. You know, like we were mentioning there, she was getting ready to talk about her overseas experience. As she said, it was short. She definitely ended up back here in the States, of course, pretty soon. But, you know, of course, it was a short experience for her. But she's doing that right now. Here she goes back again. Here we go.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But, yeah, it was a short story. It was a short lived. I went. They weren't, you know, just giving me the stuff that I needed for me to, I feel like, stay. And I felt like I briefly started modeling at TSU, like totally random. Someone randomly asked me to audition for the homecoming fashion show. And the girl that I was with, she had done a couple of shows. She was our manager at the time. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And I went with her. I made the show and I ended up opening the show and I loved it. Like, I was like, oh, I can do this. This is kind of fun. Like, I get to play dress up. And that, mm-hmm. like I said, brings me back to just me, like, playing in the shower, just like acting in the shower. So I'm like, I'm doing it, you know, in a different form. So I had already had a little bit of experience in modeling just coming out of TSU. And I've already done my research at that time. So I knew I can book something and get paid more than what they made in how much they were trying to pay me in a month. I can get paid that in a day if I were to like really be successful in like the model world. So I was just like, let me see if I can tap into that. So I was shortly in Turkey. I told my agent in Germany that I couldn't do it anymore. And I packed my stuff and I booked a one-way flight to Houston for a little bit, only to kind of like gather my stuff really and move to New York. I didn't even tell my parents I was moving to New York. They thought I was thinking about going and getting my master's. Like I had my mom take me on like different tours to colleges in Houston. The whole time I'm like, I'm not staying here. I'm going to New York. But I couldn't tell them that because they would just probably try to like what? Like, I don't know. But I've always been a thrill seeker. Like I'm a daredevil. So like I'm gonna do it anyway. Everything I say I'm gonna do, I pretty much do it, and this isn't gonna be this isn't gonna stop my little streak I got going. So
there we go. So you're robbing New York. How was the modeling scene and how did you kind of adapt to New York and the modeling scene there?
It was ghetto and I hated it. I hated it. Nobody would sign me. And I had just went natural, so like I didn't have, like, bald headed. Like, no one was signing me. I was staying with a friend from college, like a college friend. They actually went to Fizz. I was staying with them briefly, and that didn't work out. And then, sorry.
We had a guest appearance, didn't we?
Huh?
We had a guest appearance, didn't we?
I know. Dolce trying to say hi, but yeah, so it just wasn't, it was just, I was homeless for a little bit. I just now started telling people about that anyway. I like literally slept in rooms with roaches and rats and a sleeping bag and a cot because I didn't have like anywhere to go. I didn't have a car there. I didn't have family there. But I met a girl from Houston who was cousins with a friend, like really good friends of mine in Houston. And I remember before I left, I had like a dinner and he was like, hey, I have my cousin in New York. She's a real model. And like, when they say a real model, that's like some, what did Drake say? Don't tell me that you model if you ain't been in Vogue. Like she was like, she was like one of those models. And I was just like, okay, yeah. I'm good. Wasn't really paying any mind. And then like it had came to the time where I was thinking about moving back to Houston and really going back to school and like trying to get my master's because I can't keep living like this. And I, something told me to call her, and I called her, and she was like, let's meet up. And I met up with her, and like, we just clicked. And she asked me if I wanted to work this job. It was a 50 cent job. They were paying like 50 an hour for like 4 hours. I was like, yes. And then it was another job. It was for Hennessy. I ended up working for Hennessy for 7 years. She put me on to that job. And they were offering the same thing, except we're working like, you know, I'm like a Hennessy ambassador. And I'm there for all the bottle releases and the BET awards, after parties, like, you know. And me and her ended up being on this reality show. And after that, it kind of like everything kind of started to fall in line. But if it wasn't for her, I don't even know if I'd be here. Like, I talk, every time I talk to her, I'm like, I owe you like $1 billion, because I was about to go home, and she kind of just like ended up telling me I can just stay with her until I figured out what else I wanted to do. And we ended up getting on this show, and we got our own apartment and ended up being roommates for like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
The struggle was real until it started to pop off.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Houston came through for you.
Houston always comes through.
All right. Well, you know, of course, you didn't stay in New York. You ended up in LA. We're going to talk about that portion of your career and your journey. But first, we're going to take another quick commercial break on This Woman Works.
A shift. A shift is something that happens and changes the dynamics. And that's what happened when Garrett Logistics was born. After 10 years as a sales pro in the logistics world of sporting goods, John Garrett decided to pivot to the world of freight and start a brokerage. So you're saying to yourself, why trust Garrett Logistics? Well, Garrett Logistics helps shippers improve overall workflow, along with increased on-time pickup and delivery percentages. Last-minute loads, multi-drop pickups, and more are part of the services with Garrett Logistics. They're available Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., all times Central Standard Time. So give them a ring at 615-400-8484. That's 615-400-8484. Or you can email them at john@garrettlogistics.co or visit their website at garrettlogistics.co. Garrett Logistics, where the motto is, it's not just freight to us, it's your business.
All right, and we are back. And like I mentioned, you went from one coast to the other, New York to LA. So kind of break down the scenario of kind of switching from, you know, going, breaking into the acting and being an actress, and then switching coast from going from New York to LA.
So I had been in New York for 7 years before I moved to LA. I was visiting LA, I just wanted to see what it was all about, but I didn't have any real intentions on moving. I was still modeling, but the industry started to shift. It was like, you didn't have to be tall and skinny to book a New York Fashion Week job. If you had 1 million followers on Instagram, they'll put you on that runway, because they know that you're gonna bring in some business. So like, the industry just started changing, and I didn't like it. And what really happened was I booked this short film, and it we ended up getting into like 8 film festivals. We won a few awards from it, and that really, I did some background work, but like that's totally different when you have like an actual speaking role. And just being on set for that and seeing how well that did, I started dibble dabbling in more acting work, to the point where I started booking more acting jobs and model jobs. So I was like, well, I can do this. This is way more fun than just, you know, changing clothes and, you know, walking. So I took some acting classes. I started booking enough jobs to kind of save up to leave. And then my lease ended in New York. And I did the same thing I did to move to New York. I just booked a one-way flight. And I was from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So once you got there, of course, you know, you jumped into things. Now, I didn't want to ask. You say you did were something for 50 Cent?
Yeah, you remember he had like those, you know, like those 5-hour energy drinks?
Yeah.
He had his own brand. I forgot what they were called. They're like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, he had that and he was doing like a promo in New York for that. And he just needed girls to serve the energy drinks. And she had a plug there. So she kind of brought me in to like do that job. And then she started helping me book other jobs because I just really couldn't find any work. I was working at Abercrombie & Fitch, like their flagship store, as like their in-store models. But that was like not any money to really like survive and try to, you know, get like established and settled in New York. I just was just trying to figure it out. I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't really done any real model work. It was just kind of like I had signed to an agency in Houston, did like really small work, but it wasn't anything big enough for me to do it full time like what I'm doing now.
Got you. Now, how long did it take for you when you got to LA to kind of, you know, get settled in and actually get your first role? Like, okay, cool, I got this.
It took me a while because it's like it's new. It's a new network on a whole nother coast. So it wasn't like I was starting out over. It was easier for me because I had already knew the game, kind of just living in the concrete jungle. Like coming from New York, I feel like made it easier for me in Cali. I feel like it would have been harder if I started here and went to New York because New York is grimy, way more grimier and way harder. It's way more like congested and way more hardships. California has beautiful weather. It helps you get over a lot of that, but the actual transition was smooth. It was just harder for me to actually like get a role, or I didn't know who I needed to, you know. I just pretty much had to dive into a whole nother different kind of pool. But one thing about me, I've always been a networker, and I know how to speak to people. I can carry myself in any room, so I feel like I naturally kind of bring people that I need to meet into my space, or I happen to meet them anyway. And I just really just try to utilize my network. But it wasn't really that easy when I first got here. It took me a couple years to actually like book a role where I'm recognizable, I guess, if you would say.
Gotcha. So. Mm-hmm. If you can, for those that are not aware, can you kind of name some of the roles that you actually have had or some of the places where they may have seen you?
Well, right now I'm a reoccurring tennis player on All-American Homecoming. It's on CW and it's on Netflix now. But like I've shot a few movies. The most recent would probably be White Man Can't Jump, or the new one, not the old one. I'm not that old. But You People with Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill, that's on Netflix. I've done like a bunch of other stuff that people probably haven't even seen me. A few WNBA commercial, NBA commercials. Like I've shot with like LeBron and Bronny. Just last week I shot with Sue Bird and Asia Wilson and Sabrina, I don't want to butcher her name. And like, you know, I work with a lot of people as like a stunt, athletic stunt or body double. I'm trying to think of my whole actual, where you can actually see me will probably be those. Other than that, if I name the movies I've been in, I would have to tell you when to stop to see me.
Got you. I understand. So, you know, of course, you talked about modeling, you talked about playing ball, things like that. What advice do you have for anyone that's potentially wanting to either model or be an actor or actress in that type of industry?
All of it is different. If you want to model, just take a bunch of pictures and try to meet with agencies, because honestly, they're the only people that's going to really get you in the doors that you need to get into. And do your research and see what kind of pictures, what they're looking for. Because really, that's all it is. Like, they know what they're looking for. Either you're it or you're not it. Like, it's really just that. They're looking for a specific look. If you're not that look, then they're not looking for you. But everybody has a specific look. I would just say take pictures and send the different agencies. As far as like acting, get into a few acting classes and see if that's even what you really want. Because once you start taking acting classes and there's a coach there telling you like you're gonna have to come out of your own world to be into this character that you're portraying, and some people can't do that, or like some people can't do it when the camera's on, or you know, I would say get into acting class and see if that's what you really want to do. And if that's what you really want to do, you can't stop.
Okay.
Because either you're going to stop right before the role that you're meant to have gets to you, or you're going to stop before the role that was even created for you even gets to you. Or you can just create your own role and make it your own path. So that's what I'm kind of working on now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you have any kind of funny or entertaining story from any of your journey?
So I have a dog. His name is Dolce. That's who you heard crying in the background. And I was on this set for, I was core for 2 months for this comedy sitcom series, whatever, called I Love That For You. And it was starring Jennifer Lewis. And it was only maybe, I was an office worker. Those are some of the roles that I say, like, I've been in, and you wouldn't know it. But if you watch the show, you've definitely seen me on there, because they kind of try to keep the same, you know, staff to make it, keep the continuity. So, it was a little bit after COVID, and we had to take COVID, you know, had to get COVID tested like every couple of days. We had to go to set, get COVID tested, and then go about our day. And then 2 days later, we would shoot. But we had to do this every couple of days. So I would bring my dog, and he was a puppy at the time. And I seen Jennifer, she was shooting, and it wasn't too many Black people in that office space. So she kind of gravitated towards us and would talk to us. One time she brought this book with like pictures and told us a story to each picture. But one time I brought my dog, and she just like fell in love with Dolce. And she was just like, where do you keep him while we're shooting for 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours? I was like, I keep him at home. He's in his playpen. You know, I have a camera. She was like, no, bring him here and he can stay in my trailer while we shoot. So she like would let me bring my dog, and like he'd be chilling in the trailer. I have like some pictures with her and him, and I'm like, wow, like she's just like an icon, like, you know. And like she has my dog in her trailer. Like I have to go to the Jennifer Lewis trailer to get my dog, because my dog's in her trailer. It was really cool just like to know that, like, you know, there's still like celebrities out here that's, you know, normal and helpful. So yeah, that's a cool story. I have other crazy wild stories that are not that good, but not better than that story I just told you.
Gotcha.
You know, keep the chaos of Hollywood a secret a little bit.
I hear you there. So of course we have gone through, you know, of course growing up in Houston, TSU, Molly in New York, acting in California, Los Angeles, exact. But of course, I want to allow our audience to be able to know you a little bit more. So I have a segment called Speed Round.
Okay.
10 questions. Basically, you know, of course, they're open-ended questions. So, of course, answer it however you'd like. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Your favorite actress?
My favorite actress, Angela Bassett.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite movie?
Love and Basketball.
Okay. That, hey, that's same as me. There we go. Best part of Los Angeles?
The beaches.
Okay. Favorite basketball player of all time?
Cynthia Cooper.
Okay, cool. I kind of figured that we might have a Houston connection there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Who is your favorite singer right now?
My favorite singer right now, I'm going with Coco.
Okay. All right. Got a favorite song?
Man, she has a song with Ty Dolla $ign. It's called what is it called? Oh my gosh. It's on the new Diddy album. You know he made that album with just R&B?
Yeah.
It's Coco Jones and Ty Dolla $ign. Reachin'.
Okay.
That's my jam. Okay. She hit that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. Favorite role you've played?
Favorite role I've played would probably be... I really like this tennis role that I've been playing because I'm not a tennis player at all. But I'm athletic. I think that's why they booked me for it. But just to wear like all the different tennis outfits that they wear. And like, I've been learning the sports. Now I kind of want to learn how to play tennis and just the different, I'm like a featured. So I don't get any lines, but I'm always like, I've been a mean girl with, Simone, the character on there. I've been the girl that handed her a bag when she was accepted on the tennis team. Like even this, a scene that we did last season, like I was the girl that kind of like looked her up and down and she's like talking about me. So like just being able to like, you know, be a mean girl tennis player or just, you know, looking like I play a sport that's out of my real sport range.
Okay. All right. So one person you'd like to sit down and eat dinner with and kind of pick their brain, who would it be?
One person I want to sit and eat dinner with and pick their brain. Does it have to be a male?
Dead or alive, male or female?
Dead or alive, male or female. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like a part of me wants to say, can I pass? Beyonce, just because I just sit with her and not talk about business or nothing. We talk about we can just talk like she would just be my friend for a day. I don't even want anything from her. I just want to just be graced with her amazingness.
Okay. All right. Best model moment you remember?
Best model moment?
Uh-huh.
I did this for New York Fashion Week. I walked for this Italian brand called Marie K. Fisher, and that ended up on Vogue Italia. So when okay. Drake says, "Don't tell me that you model if you ain't been in Vogue," I can say that I modeled because I was in Vogue Italia. So that's a big model moment for me. Pop.
Okay. All right, the speed round is over. I want to thank you for coming on to the show. Thank you for allowing everyone to get to know you. And it has definitely been my pleasure to allow everyone to get to know you as well. If you can, tell everyone they can find you on social media. And then also, if you can, talk about any things you may be working on coming up.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite. This was fun. If you want to find me, everything's the same. It's at It's Me Tiffany, ITZ, as in zebra. It's ITZ Me Tiffany on Instagram, TikTok, X/Twitter. Everything's the same. The things I'm working on now, I'm really about to tap into my action bag. That's always been my biggest goal in this acting world because it's hard for me to play regular characters because I'm either taller than a lot of these male actors out here or I'm too pretty and they want to put me as the girlfriend or like, you know, the sex symbol or whatever. So I'm being an athlete, you know, I feel like it would be a great way for me to maneuver into like action. And like, I don't mind getting a little dirty and doing my own stunts and fighting, you know? So I'm really working on a lot of stuff that's with action. I just signed with a new manager, so she has some pretty nice plugs. So I'm just excited to see where she takes me. Yeah, I'm just trying to turn it up a notch. The goal, I did 3 movies last year. I'm trying to do 5 this year. So I'm down one. Can't even say anything about that one yet. So I got 4 to go.
All right. Well, there we have it. And of course, I'm the host of the show. If you didn't know, folks, my name is Mike Patton. You can find me on the artist formerly known as Twitter at Mike Patton 82. That's MikePatton 82. Yes, I say the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Wow. Playing, I like that.
Paying homage to the Prince, who is, of course, one of the greatest artists of all time. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at the, that's T-H-A, not T-H-E, _general_MP. This woman works. You can find that on all your listening platforms and YouTube as well. I want to thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of This Woman Works. We're out.